On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, Stacey looks back at a very special day. Tilly updates us on all matters Newark AC. And Graham, well, he's got the stats at the ready. It's action-packed, it's all about you, it is the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And these are some of the headlines that our youngsters have been making over the weekend. 3 second-half goals from Elliot Burrell, Thomas Shepherd and Max Lockwood helped Farndon Colts beat Sandy Acre to keep the pressure on Long Bennington at the top of the Notts Youth League under-18 division. The pressure doesn't seem to be affecting Benno, though. They put 7 past Loudham, with 6 different players on the score sheet. RHP under-15 scored 4 at home to Dunkirk. Minor problem, they conceded 6. A penalty kick 40 seconds from time sent Newark Rugby Club's under-14s into the final of the NLD Cup at the expense of the mighty Scunthorpe. And the under-16s, well, they're through to a semi-final. Well done to Ed Howlett, who won a bronze medal at the GB Under-23 Championships on Saturday. A full report on that one to come on our social media pages. Amelia Crispin had her first ever go at Park Run on Saturday, lining up on a bitterly cold start line with 157 runners. She finished first female and 6th overall. And despite stopping briefly to get out the way of an out-of-control dog, she managed to get her name on the age group records board by matching the junior 11-14s record, which was set way back in 2015. And the new track at the Sports Village seems to be paying dividends already for Newark AC youngsters in round 4 of the Notts Mini League. Pick of the result saw Tyler Picker finishing 3rd for the 3rd time in the under-11 boys, Joseph Monk 2nd and Josh Cleed 12th in the under-12s, and Ellie Monaghan 7th in the under-15 girls. And everybody that thought they was going to go to Belper last night to support the mighty Flowserve, last night, tomorrow night even, to support Flowserve, don't bother, make other plans. It's waterlogged in Derbyshire. Belper against Newark Flowserve is postponed and will not be played. And that leaves us with one story that you may have heard on the news today, so I suppose we ought to talk about Mr. Mourinho. Okay then, you're right, I'm wrong. You said he'd be gone by Christmas. I said he wouldn't. Manchester United have sacked Jose Mourinho after identifying a catalogue of failings at the club. Come on, man, let's get it over with.
I think he basically went because they wanted a director of football and he didn't. I think that's what the club will say. But it was an absolute embarrassment to Manchester United for 3 years.
OK, in those 3 years, he's won 3 trophies.
Spent £364 million.
He's won 3 trophies. Klopp hasn't won a single trophy at Liverpool. Pochettino's not won a single trophy. I'm not sticking up for him, I'm just making the other side. Pochettino's not won a single trophy at Tottenham. He's won 3 trophies. OK, one's a charity shield, but he classes that as a trophy.
Be very interesting to see whether Pochettino actually takes over at Old Trafford.
What I can't understand is why Manchester United are basically writing off the season.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
If they thought they could make anything out of this season, and they're still in the Champions League, they're in the last 16 of that, and they've still got a top 4 place to aim for in the Premier League. So it doesn't matter if you finish 1st, 2nd, 3rd or 4th. It's the same goal. You're in Europe. OK. Zidane, the one that everybody said they wanted, is sitting there, the 3 agent, waiting for a job. Why is not Zidane in there? Obviously, that's not the one they want, which makes you believe they want Pochettino. And they've got to wait until summer for Tottenham to release him.
Yeah, I mean, if they want a caretaker manager, Zidane. Come in, does a caretaker job, absolutely superb.
How about Big Sam?
I think they'd rather have Wilf McGuinness.
Just thinking, they want entertaining, attacking football, lump the ball forward and chase after it.
No, I mean, if you bring in a caretaker manager in, middle of December, it's just a slap in the face.
This has been on the cards at Manchester United since the season started, correct?
It's been terribly handled.
Right. They've got no idea, it would seem, of what they're going to do now they've got rid of Mourinho.
Hmm.
Because they've put Michael Carrick in charge the weekend. He's never managed a team in his life. So one of the world's biggest clubs has got somebody who has never managed a team in charge. Maybe for only one game, but that's not the point.
I bet Paul Pogba's jumping through hoops.
Oh, well, he's bound to be, isn't he? And Paul Pogba is one of those that's not been playing for Mourinho. Is it the players? Is it the manager?
This is from a Leeds United fan.
No, we're talking football.
This is from a Leeds United fan. Manchester United are a magnificent institution. Absolutely superb. And they've got a fan base throughout the world. And they are a fantastic, fantastic football club. And they've had a bloke there who has sulked through 3 years being in the best job in the world of football. It's just an embarrassment and good riddance.
But Manchester United have never got it right since Ferguson left, have they, really?
No, I mean...
They haven't.
I don't know if anybody watched the George Best All By Himself, the fantastic documentary that was on BBC Two after Match of the Day 2 on Sunday night. But Manchester United have got a history of this. They lose a great manager... Sir Matt Busby.
Oh, they went through countless managers when Matt Busby finished.
They've gone through Wilf McGuinness, Frank O'Farrell, people like that.
Dave Sexton.
Yeah, Tommy Docherty. And then, eventually, Sir Alex came in.
Who they would have got rid of if Forrest hadn't let them win in the FA Cup.
Did a magnificent job, Forrest, maintaining their FA Cup success record over the years.
That's the one thing I've... If Forrest had won that game, Ferguson would have been out of a job on Monday. Great. That's the crazy... Have we seen the last of Mourinho?
No.
Has the game passed Mourinho by?
No, because they'll walk into a massive top job tomorrow. You know, the minute Bielsa... You know, slips up, then he's straight in at Leeds United. He's going to go to a big club eventually. But, you know, I mean, I used to love Mourinho because I thought he was a breath of fresh air and very, very funny.
But now Klopp's a breath of fresh air.
Klopp's got a slate loose.
Yeah, but he's a breath of fresh
air. I love him to bits.
He's a breath of fresh air, isn't he, that Mourinho used to be.
I think he goes to the same place as Sam Hagar to get his teeth done, don't he?
But... Yeah, but only you could bring FloServe into a conversation about Manchester United. Unbelievable, and unbelievable is our guest and what she achieved this year, of which we'll talk about, Stacey, if you don't mind, after our past seven. But up until then, welcome back to Radio New at Stacey Atkins.
Thank you very much.
We're looking back at 2018. I want to talk about Striders. I know Graham's going to come on later. Yep. I want to talk about Striders. It's been a good couple of weeks for Striders because they've got some recognition for all the hard work that they've been putting in. So let's start with Striders and then we'll come to Stacey. They've had a cracking year. They've got a special award at the Sports Awards and that was so well deserved because it's almost Striders plus now, isn't it? Because as a running club, you're actually branching out into...
Yep.
Different things that running can bring. It's not just running anymore.
Yep.
Is this effort down to Jackie, or is this a team effort? Have you all got your heads together and decided to do it, or is it something that just happened?
I think it's a little bit of everything, to be honest. We have expanded as a committee and as a group of leaders at the club, and Becky Clift joined that group earlier this year and she's come along with some fabulous ideas, the plug-in, and Jack has listened to it, the committee have listened to it, and we've thought, yeah, we'll get involved with that, we'll bring something back to our community whilst promoting Striders at the same time. And the run and talk, that's something Jess Gordon is a big fan of, so she's got involved in that. And there's a group of
Stacey, can you just stop me? Tony, can you just swap mics with Stacey, because that mic does seem to be playing up a little bit. Sorry, Stacey.
Sorry.
That's a lot better. Yeah.
So the run and talk, we have, I'm going to get the name wrong, Mental Health Ambassadors, I believe they are called, with a lot of people from the club, not just the leaders or committee, that are interested in supporting and helping other people. And giving them a release through running and having somebody to talk to.
And, of course, as we said, it's paid dividend at the Sports Awards, and
yeah.
I know Jackie was very proud to...
We're all extremely proud of the club and how we have continued this year.
Which you've set yourself standards, haven't you, for next time round? Graham's going to come and give us a load of stats later on. But you've set yourself standards now, haven't you, really?
Yeah, we have, but I think we'll keep to them, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. We will do what we do well, and yeah, we can just keep improving.
2018 for you, we know what the highlight was. That was in the wonderful delights of Bolton, and we'll talk about that one at length a little bit later on, because it's something that we did follow your progression, and everybody was sitting there with fingers crossed and everything. What else has 2018 brought for you in the world of running?
Do you know what? Not a lot, really. I was thinking about this on the way home. I was like, oh, I've sat and I've watched my friends get PBs over the last few weeks. I've seen a number of our members run their first marathon this year or achieve something they've all set out to do. And I was like, what have I achieved in running this year? And actually, that wasn't my goal this year. My goal this year was to complete Bolton. So all the running went on the back burner, because I knew if I got to the run at Bolton, I'd complete. So I just kept running up as a ticking over thing, and focused elsewhere. So actually, in terms of running, I haven't achieved anything new this year, but it's been part of my training, so...
You've had one absolutely fantastic major achievement, as I say. We'll talk about that. But that was in June, so since then, have you sort of...
I haven't done anything.
Taking it easy, then.
I'd like to say I haven't done anything. I did, on the back of Bolton, I did 3 half marathons in the space of 8 weeks. In that time, I did TR24, which is the 24-hour running event. I did 3 laps. That was the weekend after Bolton. I also did Equinox in September. I can't even remember how many laps I did there. I think it was 5, maybe 6. But everything just seemed to be such hard work. So after Equinox, I said, right, I'm just cutting back now. I'm just going to start enjoying running again. So if I don't run, I don't run. I'm not forcing myself to go out and do it. To hate it more than anything. So I've cut back, just going back to park runs and the odd 10K when I feel like it, and pick it back up in January.
Was there a danger then of falling out of love with running?
Yeah, because I found it so hard. I was so tired after Bolton, like really tired. And I spoke to a girl called Laura Siddle, who is a professional triathlete, but she's from round here, and she's done Newark Park Run a couple of times. And she said, oh, it will take you months to recover from it. So once I chatted to somebody that had been through it, I kind of went, do you know what? Take the pressure off. It doesn't matter that you can't go out and run your fastest 10K anymore. Just relax, do what you need to do, and pick it up when you're not completely shattered.
Tony, just... take the mic around. We're just having a mic sharing session at the minute. When somebody falls out of love with the sport that they do, is that the time to walk away from it, to just give it some breathing space, or
very
what
much
do you
so.
Do when you fall out of love with your sport?
It happened to me in 1985. Bradford City burnt down. Then you've got Heysel. Weeks later. And I thought, forget football. What a load of rubbish. What a waste of time. It's horrific. Get stuffed. And just threw myself into cricket. Absolutely loved every minute of cricket, every single nuance and essence of cricket. And it was wonderful. And then the football season started again, and I went, oh, I can't stay away. And you just fall back in love with it. It's fantastic. It's like when you've been married 33 years and you have an argument. You know, it's absolute rubbish, and you think, what the hell? And then she looks at you a certain way, and you just crack on. And that's what football did to me. And it's like, take that for any sport. You know, like, sort of, it's just... Once it's in your blood, you've had it.
You see, Lucy, he does love you still.
Oh, I forgot she might be listening. Oh, yeah, I like her as well.
So, you... give it some breathing space, you walk away from it.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, on a personal level, that's what I did in 1985. I just walked away, turned me back on the sport, wasn't interested whatsoever. And then you see the football fixtures in the paper, and then it's the first day of the season, and then the charity shield is on telly, and you're back in. You just can't, you know. It's like I would imagine it's like heroin. You know, you just can't leave it alone. It just grabs you. And running is exactly the same. And the thing is, when you come back to running, you will think, "Wow, this is fantastic. Why did I ever leave this?" And you will love it far more than you ever did.
But your problem, Stacey, let's try that mic again. Your problem, Stacey, is that you've got a... it's the Striders family, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And that's definitely why I've kept going and not completely walked away from it. It's the social side of it. I've taken the time to run with people that I wouldn't have necessarily run with before. It's the Striders family that keeps you going and keeps you not necessarily in love with it, but knowing that you will get back to it, because I've seen others go through this before.
See, we can be profound when we want to be.
It
won't last long, but you know. Right, coming up next, shall we try and find out what the twins have been up to? Well, I'd like to say that for the final time before Christmas we'll talk to the twins, but we've been deserted again, and it's just Tilly to us. Lauren's gone pole vaulting. Amber's back in town, but she's already got herself a job, so we'll catch up with her sometime before she disappears back off stateside again. So, Tilly, it all falls to you to tell us what's happening in the world of New York Athletic Club.
So we had quite a quiet weekend, and the only competition we had was on Sunday, which was the mini league cross country, and there was 12 who took part, and that was at Worksop. In the first race in under-11s, Harriet Monaghan finished in 26th place. Then in the under-11 boys, it was led home by Riley Picker in third place, debut runner Jude White in 36th place, and Cameron Shivers in 38th. In the under-13 girls race, we had Niamh Monaghan in 11th place, Bethwyn Jones in 14th place, Anna Clark in 21st place, and Zoe Smith. She did really well because she came 22nd place, but she didn't do very well, but she still ran for the team. Then in the under-13 boys, we had Joseph Monk, who had a fantastic second place, and Josh Clee in 12th place. And in the under-15 girls, we had Ellie Monaghan 7th and Catherine Booth in 10th. So good results by all.
Sorry, Tilly, we lost you for a while there.
Oh,
you know, I got everything you said, but I want quick enough to come in at the end there. No, we got everything you said. You're all right.
All right.
Is that it then now for the year for Newark AC?
Yeah, we've got the Christmas Eve training. And then on Boxing Day, we've got the Boxing Day Handicap.
Exactly. You've got two events to come. Now, Christmas Eve, it's a bit of a special one, isn't it?
Yeah, we do Christmas training at Belton House Tower.
No, it's called Belmont Tower, and it's next to Belton House. For the people that's been to Belton House, you can't miss seeing the tower. So you park in the car park at the bottom, and then they have you running up to the tower, don't they?
Yeah, all the way around the top of, like, there's like a wooden, like, walk around the top of the tower. So we do, like, tempos down there, and then we run up the hill. So, very fun.
No, fun's probably the last word for it. That strikes me as hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work, yeah. But it makes you feel good on Christmas Day. You can eat all that food.
So, what's the time that you've got to beat?
Oh, for which one?
For the Belmont Tower. What was your time last year? Can you remember?
No, it's just a training run, so I'm not sure.
Oh, you're not timed.
No, we're not timed, no.
But you are timed on Boxing Day.
On Boxing Day. Sunday, yeah. We'll have to see who goes first out of me and Lauren.
So that's... Well, I'll never know.
No, Lauren should go before me, but
right.
I don't know who will win out of the two of us.
So Boxing Day, on Boxing Day morning, all your friends from Newark AC, Striders and Not Fast, including our studio guest, will be on sconce to do the Newark Athletic Club handicaps when somebody sits and works out of what you should all run the distance in, so you should all finish at exactly the same time.
Yeah, it never works out, but it's normally me, Dan, Amber and Lauren, though, at the end, like, sprinting for who's going to win, but I don't know who's going to win.
So who's going to win out the three of you?
I think probably Lauren, because she'll get set off first, but I'm not sure, because I don't like Lauren beating me, so I'm going to try and beat her, so...
You're going for it.
I'm going for it, yeah.
Right, the only way we can figure this one out is what colour socks are you wearing?
I'll wear bright yellow socks, and I'll get Lauren to wear bright pink socks.
So I'm going to make a note of this.
Okay.
Yellow socks, Tilly. Yeah. That will confuse the wife when I get back home. Yellow socks, Tilly. Orange socks.
Lauren.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So how is our, what used to be our favourite Newark AC reporter before you come on the scene?
Amber, she's really good. Yeah, she's fine.
And she's enjoying America?
Yeah, she's loving it. Yeah, she really likes it.
Well, if we can't get her in the studio, because I know she goes back on the 9th, I think, of January, so if we can't get her in the studio, I'll catch up and have a chat on Boxing Day, and we'll play out a recording. So enjoy your Christmas, Tilly. Thank you very much for all your efforts.
Thank you. Good Christmas.
We'll see you on Boxing Day, and we'll have a chat then.
All right, see you later.
Thanks, bye-bye. The wonderful Tilly Owens there. Part of the dream team, the other part's indoors playing at pole vault, so at least Tilly's outside. And Stacey.
I said playing at pole vault.
Well, I don't know what you. She's on the inside and she's warm. Have you ever fancied doing anything? I know you do as a swimming, but have you ever fancied sort of pole vault or the hammer or the discus or any of the field events?
No.
No? It's not occurred to appeal to you at all?
No.
You don't want to think about that?
I don't. You don't need time to think about that, no.
No, we've got an answer there, so anyway, that was shall we say she didn't think an awful lot about this. But you don't mind swimming?
No, I don't mind swimming. I enjoy swimming. And I enjoy the cycling. So, yeah.
We'll talk about triathlon in minutes. We'll talk about Brigham Tri Club.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a certain Sunday in Bolton, but... first of all, it's time to find out what's coming up for the rest of this week. With a note to self to change the script. Tomorrow's show, with Kaz departing for pastures new, we welcome a new girl to our trio of charity girls, and she's coming over from the dark side. Rachel Wilson joins Sarah and Catherine at Sport HQ as we talk Children's Bereavement Centre, Mind and Beaumont House, and how they're all very closely connected with sport. We talked to Dave Farger about all things Not Fast, and we will not be talking to Dave Ersfield about all things Flow Surf, because that game is off. On Thursday night, Megan Smash It Williams talks about her year and looks forward to Chad's fight on Friday. And I think it's only fitting we end the year with one of our favourites.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And another one of our favourites is in tonight. Let's talk, Stacey, first about the Bingham Tri Club, because it's a club I've seen that you're fairly closely connected with. And I know very little about, so this is your turn to plug Bingham Tri Club.
Oh, Bingham Tri Club. It's like another Striders. It's a small club, really friendly, great support. You know, everyone's got your back. You talk about how Newark all sat and watched me at Bolton. Well, so did Bingham. There was a girl there from Bingham. She finished 2 hours before me. And she waited till I finished before she left, because she had to drive home that night. So the support from that club is just amazing, as well as the Striders. It's a really small club, a really small, close club.
If anybody said, I don't know what Tony will say, he'll no doubt give me his opinion in a moment, if anybody said to me, what's the sport in 2018 which seems to have come on the most, I'd say triathlon. It seems to have taken, and I don't know if this is on the back of the Olympics, the Brownies, or what it's on the back of, but triathlon seems to have be the in sport at the moment. You know, we've had squash and we've had badminton. Everyone has an in sport, but at the moment, it's those two. There's yourself, there's Tom Marshall there, there's in the youngsters, Amelia Crispin, of course. It seems to be the sport at the moment.
I definitely think it's a sport that's grown and grown and grown over the last, I don't know, eight years. I think I joined Bingham Tri 8 years ago. And for personal reasons didn't continue going, and then rejoined a couple of years ago. But I do think it is a sport that's grown. The Brownlees have had a massive impact on that, and I think that then seeing normal people like myself go out and do what people would see as really difficult, so the half Ironman distance, people then go, well, I could have a go at that, and they go and do. Or they go and have a go at a sprint triathlon, and they get a bit of a bug for it. It's definitely growing.
It's funny, Tony, isn't it, that we have in sports, I mean, football and rugby and cricket seems to be there, but there's a phase for other sports, isn't there? And isn't it how the Olympics can gel people into, I want to try that? Yeah, I mean, we've talked to Olivia Whitelaw, dress sergeant, of course, how do you make a horse fly, you know.
question of the year.
But nobody, I don't think you'd find anybody, unless those horsey mad, would even want to glance at the dressage. It's on the Olympics, one afternoon in the middle of the week, and all of a sudden, everybody is glued to dressage. It is the power of TV, isn't it?
Well, in 2000s, I got a very bad injury at cricket. Very, very badly twisted ankle, and couldn't really leave the couch.
Was there a rush at the bar or something? Or?
No. It was while batting. It was a very unlucky injury, because I wasn't there ever batting very, very long, but managed to get injured during the brief period at the wicket. And so I was laid up on the couch for a two-week period, and fortunately it coincided with the 2000 Sydney Olympics, and it was fantastic, because if you fell asleep on the couch during the day, it was on all night as well on the highlights, and I just watched the whole of what I consider to be the best ever Olympic Games. And if you're great at cycling, and if you're great at swimming, and if you're great at running, the triathlon gives you an opportunity to, you know, I have three sports that you can enjoy.
Yeah, I'm not great at any of them, but I just try and do it.
Nah, we're not having that.
But it is. Somebody asked a mountaineer, but why did you climb Everest? And he said, because it was there. And the thing about triathlons is that, you know, it's a fantastic challenge, isn't it? You know, and at the end of it, you know, you just, when you sort of cross that finish line, you are on top of the world. You've just climbed Everest and you've stuck your flag in the top of the summit.
Me, I see. Even he's being profound tonight. This is worrying.
I'm going to have to get back drinking.
You are. You forgot where you was coming when you was drinking. It was even better. Bolton and an Ironman. So, first of all, what's a triathlon? Just for people like me who don't understand.
So triathlon is a swim of a distance, a sprint, 400 metres or 750 if it's open water. Olympic distance is more than that. I don't know, because I've not done many of them. Half Ironman is 1.2-mile swim, and then full Ironman is 2.4-mile swim. Followed by a bike of varying distances, and then a run. Again, sprint, 5K, all the way up to the Ironman that's a marathon at the end.
So, what was the swim?
The swim
was 2.4 miles.
Swim was 2.4 miles.
Your cycle ride, which you omitted to tell us the distance.
So, the cycle on the Ironman is 112 miles.
People don't go that distance on the holidays.
They don't. And Bolton was was short because of the Moor fires at the time up in Bolton. So I only cycled 95 miles. Some people say I didn't do an Ironman, but I'll tell you what, the hardest 95 miles I've cycled.
You tell them to have a go. You did the Bolton Ironman.
And actually, was harder. So the bit that they cut out, I did complete twice last year. So I know how hard that bit was, but the bit, that bit that they cut out, the bit they put in, was harder than that bit, because on the normal route you get a nice long downhill that you can just go for it. On the downhill we got this year, you had to be on your brakes because they're like 90 degree turns part way down. It was a bit of a,
it's a bit like the Tour de Yorkshire then,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, in Lancashire, yeah.
The question is that Louise Orgill wants to know, do you wear a wetsuit?
Yes.
It's
compulsory. Is it? In an Ironman event in this country, it's right. Compulsory.
So Louise, then, she's got to wear a wetsuit. Because, of course, Louise open water swims without the wetsuit, which strikes me as sort of...
I wouldn't.
fairly balmy, to be honest. Yeah. And then you've got your marathon. So let's... briefly go back to where you don't want to go back to in 2017.
Yep.
We followed you to Bolton.
To my 80 on the bike, yep.
And you'd got Philippa there again doing it, and I'm not going to dwell on it, but your personal life at the time wasn't absolutely brilliant.
Nope.
And the fact that you even attempted to do it really, really was the probably most amazing feat of the year, that you even got your head into doing it.
Yeah.
It went a little bit wrong on the cycling, though, didn't it?
It did, and it's one of those things, you know, if it was easy, everybody would go and do it. And as much as, you know, I wasn't in the right place to do it, man, as much as I really wanted to, physically I could do it and I was capable, I don't think I fully had the mental strength to keep focused on the day. But I went and I gave it a go, and I possibly didn't give it the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Come on, professional journalist.
I didn't respect it, I don't think, fully, to turn up, having had 8 weeks of minimal training and minimal looking after my body, because that's really important when you're training for an Ironman, is to make sure you're getting the right fuel. I didn't really do that. So
I think in any sport, Stacey, if your mind's not on it, then it's not going to happen, is it? And that's why I was so proud of the Striders when they started running and talking, or walking and talking to people, because in 2017 you needed somebody to talk to,
and I would not have dealt and got through my circumstances like I did without Striders
exactly
at that time.
that's why what's happened is just it's nice. It's brilliant to do it for friends, but when you do it for total strangers as well, then you are somebody a little bit special.
Yeah.
You really are. We'll finish with 2017.
Thanks.
When did you make your mind up?
That I'd do it again?
This ain't going to beat me. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it.
Probably after the tears stopped, maybe about a week or so later. It wasn't much later that I signed up again. So yeah, probably a couple of weeks maximum. I got over the emotion of it all, and
bravest decision or a foolish decision? When I bet that went through your mind, didn't it, a few times?
Oh yeah, definitely. But I think it's really brave to go back to something that did beat you, and give it another go. And you know, I think I treated it, I'd like to say, with a little bit more respect. I think some people would say that my training was a bit iffy at times. I would go on a 100-mile bike ride after a night out. It's not the best idea.
But you know what? It wasn't going to consume my life. It had already, you know, the not completing it had consumed my life. So I needed to make sure I still had a little bit of a life. But I think it was the bravest decision, because I don't know what I'd have done if I'd not completed it again.
It would have nagged away at you.
Destroyed me. Yeah,
it would have nagged away at you forever until it got.
Yeah.
It got to you. So 2018, you went over to Bolton. Probably a little bit more low key than 2017, because it was just you and Philippa, wasn't it, that went?
Yeah, it was just Philippa and I that went up together. But I had Amy from the Tri Club there. Her dad is a member of the Tri Club, and he was up supporting her. And then Daniel Ward, who used to be a strider until he moved to Norfolk, was also competing, and his girlfriend Liz was up there supporting. So although it was low key in terms of who came up from Newark, there were people there, and I was really lucky to see. I saw both Amy and Dan on the Saturday when we registered and sort all of our things out. But on the Sunday when I got onto the run, Amy was just starting her second loop of the run as I was starting my first. And Dan, as I was halfway around my first loop, Dan was on his final loop. So I got to see them both on the course, which is just the boost that you need.
Which is absolutely lovely. And, of course, everybody in this world needs a Philippa.
Yeah, everyone needs a Philippa. Everyone needs a Philippa.
You finished it. We know you finished it.
Yeah.
Memories from it?
Oh, memories from it. Oh, the swim was awful. Don't I ever want to swim in that lake again? Seeing people out on the course, seeing Philippa when I came in off on the bike, because we knew once I was on the run that it was in the bag. That was a great memory. I cried at that point. I nearly swore. But I didn't want to get disqualified for the use of foul language, which can happen.
Can it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Seeing my friends out on the course and knowing that they were completing it, meeting and talking to different people. I've been part of a group on Facebook called The Ironman Journey, and there's a guy there who writes a blog, and I cycled a little bit with him. So that was fab to meet him. I've been part of an Ironman Women of Bolton group, and I met a couple of the girls off there and chatted to them. So it was really great to see. But I think my best memory is my finishing video. I don't actually remember finishing, really. But Philippa took loads of photos and Amy recorded it. And I do a little hop, skip, jump kind of thing at the end. And then I just power up that carpet. And I'm so glad somebody managed to capture that for me.
You actually started at what time in the morning?
Six o'clock.
6 o'clock you started, and you finished?
At 10 p.m.
At 10 p.m. in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of us sat there in front of an iPad all Sunday evening waiting for that moment to happen.
Yeah.
In fact, quite a lot of us sat in front of an iPad waiting for that moment
to happen.
And a lot
of people were messaging Philippa just to make sure that the tracker was working properly. It was there, yeah.
So, absolutely brilliant. We've, just as an aside, we've got a wall of fame on the going on to the Radio Newark Sports pages on social media. At Christmas, and last week we had the team performance of the year, which the judging panel, me, awarded to the rugby club girls for that.
No, really,
outstanding performance at Ealing in the final against the All Stars of Pulborough, and tonight the individual performance of 2018 on our Wall of Fame goes to Stacey Atkins, because what she achieved at Bolton was the absolute pinnacle for an individual in 2018. Stacey, you're on our Wall of Fame.
Thank you.
And being it's a bit of a striders night, Shall we talk Striders and look back on what they did in 2018 from the John Motson of the running world, Graham Welsh. Graham, good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, I'll take that as a compliment.
Always meant as one.
Yeah. I've been glued to the show so far, listening to Stacey. I like listening to in real life and on the radio. And really, if you go back a couple of years to when I first joined the club, Stacey was one of the people who really, really encouraged me and started me running and really got me into the club. So a lot to be thankful to Stacey for. And yeah, we've been hearing about what a busy year she's had, you know, 3 marathons. 5 laps at Equinox it was, actually, yeah, and of course the Ironman. So, yeah, truly amazing and inspiring year for Stacey there. So, in terms of the Striders itself, I'll go through the race through the year in about 90 seconds, a bit of about 90 seconds in just a few seconds of time. But first of all, we're going to start off with the weekend news, and we start at the Newark Showground, where 2 Striders were taking part in the Maramile event at the showground there. That's one of Adam Holland's events. And Emma Ashrin, she did the 1 lap event of the 3.28 mile circuit in 41 minutes and 29 seconds. And Rob Wilkinson did 2 laps, so that's just over 10K, 6.56 miles, 1 hour 10 minutes and 7 seconds. Then on to Sunday. Yeah, the weather was a bit better than it was on Saturday. It was freezing cold and windy on Saturday, but better weather on Sunday. But a tough course at the Lincoln and District Runners Charity cross-country event, 5 mile event. Simon Roberts did that 41 minutes and 17 seconds, and Nick Harrison 1 hour 8 minutes and 4 seconds. So as promised, we've got coming up a sort of 90 second headlong charge through the Striders year. And we started off in January with the start of the Step Into Striders program. So that's a Couch to 5K program to encourage people to start running, return to running, get into club running, and basically enjoy taking part in the sport that we love so much. It was a really successful event, but it started in January, and but cross country as well in January. February, Beaver Challenge, more cross country. March, 30 Striders, that's the biggest turnout of the year, at a half marathon event at Retford for the Retford Half Marathon. So that was a really enjoyable race, quite a few PBs that day. Also in March, we had somebody doing the Lisbon Half Marathon, and we had the graduation from Step Into Striders at Park Run, so a very successful programme. April was really characterised by our marathon running. We had marathon runners at Manchester, Brighton, Boston, Lincolnshire, London, Longhorn Marathon, and we had 29 marathon runners, marathons run in total in April, and 17 turned out at Manchester for the Manchester Marathon, including Stacey. And 9 first timers amongst them. And Summer League started in April as well. So moving into May, we had the Sleaford Half, 24 Striders there, boiling hot day, and the Liverpool Marathon. June, Gordon Wellbore Week, that was a really successful and enjoyable week. 18 Striders did all events through the Monday to Friday, and 36 in total, 36 others in took part in one or more of the events. Striders beat Not Fast at Rounders, one of the highlights of the month. We had the summer solstice turnout of 54 people for the 10K race there at Lon Bennington. That's the biggest Striders turnout of the year for racing. The start of the plogging. On to July, we had the Lincoln 10K. That was rescheduled from March. Boiling hot day. It's been rescheduled due to snow, but 29 Striders there. The final summer series. We had a really good summer series. We had the men's veteran team came 5th overall, which, bear in mind, we're running against teams like Home Pierpont and Southwell and really sort of well-established running clubs. It was a fantastic performance, and the ladies did really well as well. The ladies bet 9th overall in that competition. July, a certain Stace Atkins did the Ironman, and also we had Matt Silk and Dan Stephen did the Outlaw, a similar event in Nottingham. TR24, 667 miles Striders did there onto August, and it's the Nottingham half, sorry, the Newark half, forgive me. We had the Striders against Not Fast Football, which we won, of course. Dublin half marathon, people running in Florida as well. September, we had the more marathons. We had the Loch Ness Marathon, at Equinox, 1,134 miles around there. Onto October, and the Chester Marathon, Bournemouth Marathon, Run and Talk started, York Marathon, Leicester Marathon, Worksop Half, what a busy year. November and December it started to slow down. So in terms of the Notts AAA County Championships, we had Peter Davis won four golds at distances from 5K to marathon, and one silver. Lewis Hopkinson won three golds again. He's the Nottingham champion in his age group at 5K and marathon, so, and also at half marathon as well. Apologies, 10 miles. And Jan Bailey and Mary Swindles also won county gold, county medals, a gold for Mary in the half marathon. So I promised some figures for the end of that, and by the end of the year, it's all added up to some pretty high totals. 11,798 miles of racing for the Striders so far this year, with a few more to come towards the end of the month. Probably about 4,000 miles of park running as well, just an estimate of that, but I'd say about 15,000 miles or so of competitive and events for the Striders. 248 half marathons, 398 10Ks and counting. I think we'll be over 400 by the end of the year. And a bit of a back-of-the-envelope calculation. I've spent a bit of time sort of deliberating about this one, but I'm pretty confident that the 170 runners in the club have done over 100,000 miles between them of training and racing. So it's been a busy year, and the cycle starts again in January. The next step into Striders programme looks to, again to be another successful programme, doing more run and talk, more plugging, and more cross-country. So a busy year we've had, and a busy year to come.
I think it's probably got to go down as Newark Striders. 2018 has got to be number one year for the club. 170 members, which in it alone makes you one of the biggest clubs in Newark. The envy of any running club that I know. You've got a lot to do in 2019 to keep it going.
We have. I think our next initiative is probably going to be sort of fixing the paving slabs around the footpaths of Newark, because we're busy trying to wear them out. You know, I think we've done the same thing into six figures of miles around the local streets, and it's an amazing club. We've heard a lot about it from Stacey tonight, and from me and others, from Jackie through the year. I think we've had a fantastic 2018, and I'm looking forward to another really successful 2019, and I'm sure the club will continue to go from strength to strength.
Are you doing the Christmas morning park run, or are you doing the Newark Athletic Club's handicap on Boxing Day? Or both?
Doing the handicap. The Christmas morning park runs, yeah, it's open to a bit of family negotiation on that one. So I'm expecting Santa to bring me a pair of running shoes, and of course I'll be desperate to try them out. Well, it might be muddy at park run, I don't know. So, yeah, 50-50 on that one. Remains to be seen. Perhaps it depends how helpful I am with the Christmas dinner.
Well, I think I might have to give park run a miss, because we've got a pantomime going off here, as opposed to any pantomime which goes off on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday night. I'm on here. Graham, have a great Christmas. I'll catch up with you, I've got no doubt, very quickly after Christmas. If you do a park run, try not to get them new shoes too muddy.
All right, you are. And have a great Christmas as well.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you for all your support over the year. We really do appreciate it.
Bye now.
Thank you, bye. Graham, so there you are, you've got 170 members and you run over 100,000 miles and you've worn out the paving slabs of Newark.
Yes, we have.
And next year you're going to fix all the potholes.
Not quite.
Well, anything that Striders touch turns to gold at the moment, so you may as well try the biggest challenge of the lot, the potholes.
It would be good to be able to run and not worry about tripping up.
Very quickly, because you said that you're going to take it easy in 2019. I know you're not. One of your great friends has been on this show. She used to be a rugby referee, but she now sits in a nice warm office looking at a television. How is Claire?
Oh, Claire's fantastic. She was away last week TMOing in Lyon, I think. It was a fairly big match for her to be invited to do. So, yeah, she's doing great with that.
She seemed to be enjoying it. Yeah, I think she'd done all she could refereeing, and it was time to
do something
different.
She's not ready to leave the world of rugby just yet. So,
and she says she can get dressed up, she can do the job she loves, and and gets all the plaudits for getting it right because the TV monitors tell her what to do.
Exactly.
So you can't go wrong, really, can you?
Nope.
That's absolutely brilliant. So you're 2019 now. There's no getting away from it. Are you doing Bolton?
No, I'm not doing Bolton, but I am going to do the same distance. I'm going to do the Nottingham Outlaw. So I will be back training in full force in January to cover the same distance again, but on a slightly easier course. But don't tell Tom Marshall I said that.
Well, there's not so many hills in and around as there is there, is there? So it's got to be. I take it the swim then is at Home Pierpont?
It is, yes.
Yep.
Yep. Swim at Home Pierpont. Cycle all around the villages of Nottinghamshire. It comes through Farndon. So it's really, really handy to train on because Bolton, I was lucky that I knew part of the course because I'd attempted it last year. But other than that, I didn't know the course. So here I can train on the course and then I can run round Home Pierpont. And there's a few others from Bingham doing it also. So it'll be a good day out.
And there's going to be numerous striders and everybody else out there cheering
exactly.
you on. When are we looking at that?
That one is the last weekend in July. So I think it's about the 29th of July, I think. I don't know.
Excellent. Well, we don't break up until the middle of August. So we will follow you on that one. And you never know, Tony. We might even be off to run at the side after getting an interview. That's what you'll have to do.
There'll be no running going on. I'll walk that whole marathon at the end.
Somehow I don't believe that.
Oh, I do.
Stacey, have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much.
You are, as I say, on the Wall of Honour at Radio Newark Sports for the individual performance of the year.
Oh, thank you. A fantastic achievement
and very, very well done.
Thank you.
So, well done, Stacey. Tomorrow night... another special night, because more special friends are coming back to see us. Two special friends are coming back to see us, and we're meeting a new friend for the first time. Somebody, Tony, that you know very well.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to see her again. I've not seen her, actually, since I left, I don't think. And, I mean, that must be 8 years, but she's now, as you say, left the dark side and gone to... Great things.
Rachel Wilson is taken over from CAS at the Children's Bereavement Centre, so Rachel's coming in to see us. Sarah Robinson is coming to update us on what's happening with Newark Mind, and she's a bit like you with FlowServe. I dare say we won't get through the evening without talking about Newark Town. And Catherine Crane's coming in to see us to talk us all about Bowman Towers. And a little bird tells me she also likes Cornwall. So, behind Stacey, she's my second favourite. Coming up now, though, is a favourite of everybody, the one and only Mr. Stuart Preston.